This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره وأستهديه وأعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من بين خلقه وخليله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح لهذه الأمة صلوات الله وسلامه عليه يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. My dear brothers and respected sisters, as we come back together as a community, and many people are coming back from vacation, and many are making their way back, and we're hoping, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, that the community will be, if not as vibrant and as connected as it was before COVID, inshallah, more. Bidhnillah. Now that we understand the value of this connection and bond that we have amongst ourselves. And I know for so many people it may be very difficult. We may have gotten used to the distance and various means of communication, but there is nothing like us coming back together as a community and congregating in one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal blessed this community with a beautiful facility. What will make this facility special is not necessarily the size or the decoration or the various beautiful amenities that we have here, but rather it's the beauty of the people that occupy the space and their love for one another. Allah Azza wa Jal talks about the believers, this body of believers being a body of brothers and sisters. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. This bond that we have amongst ourselves is established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from above the seventh heaven. And that bond that we have is more important than any other bond. It's more important than our national or ethnic or tribal or any other affiliation or identity that we carry. If a Muslim does not understand that or is struggling with it, then they're not where they are supposed to be. That means we need to work on ourselves. We need to work on somehow allowing these divisions and borders, right, and factions to get into our hearts. They're not even on the map unless we put them, right? If you fly over any piece of land, you are not going to see any borders, right? This is what part of the post-colonial reality that was imposed upon us. There was a time where we were one ummah. Literally, you could travel from one place to another. I myself, my ancestors, my great-grandfather migrated from one place to another freely. My grandfather was born in one area. He was buried in another area. There was a time where people used to, the only identity that they needed to carry is, as a matter of fact, even non-Muslims were able to travel through Muslim land freely and be welcomed. So we need to restore that. We need to restore that. And we should start with ourselves. We should start internally, right? Really, when you see a believer, think of that person as yourself. How are we going to really be an example of what the Prophet ﷺ talked about? Of how, like, you're really not a true believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. How are we going to get there? So one of these areas that as we come together and we start interacting with one another, I wanted to remind myself, it may sound very basic, but I wanted to remind myself and go over some of the fiqh of interaction between believers. fiqh of interaction. There is a famous hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam talks about what is known as huquq, duties, rights, duties, however you want to see them, right? So we usually talk about them as rights. And whenever you see rights, that, you know, whenever I talk about a right, what that does to a person, to the listener, is it makes you aware of your rights, so you're in that mode of demanding and expecting your rights, right? Yes or no? When we say the rights of the believers, you think of yourself as a believer, and now you're expecting your rights, right? Very seldom do we think about, I'm talking about the rights of the other side. So let me just talk about it from the point of view of it being our duties towards one another. What is your duty towards another believer, another Muslim? The haqq of that Muslim. What's your duty? Because if we focus on duties, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to hold us accountable for what? For either fulfilling or failing in fulfilling our duties. No one on the Day of Judgment is going to come and be held accountable for giving up some of their rights. As a matter of fact, if you give up some of your rights for the sake of Allah, you will be rewarded. So this concept, this idea that you have to demand your right and stand up for your right, it has to be understood in its right context. Right? Not when we're dealing with each other. Not when we're dealing with our spouses or family members. Right? When we're dealing with our spouses or family members or our brothers whom we love like we love ourselves, we need to be thinking about duties. Have I fulfilled my duties towards you? Have I disappointed you or failed you in any way or fashion? And what can I do to make it up to you? And if that spirit and that mindset spreads amongst the believers or in any community, that community is going to be not only healthy but an exemplary community. A community in which no one will have to demand their rights because everyone is fully aware of the importance of fulfilling their duties towards one another. So in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there are two narrations in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam talks about five, in another hadith, six specific duties that Muslims have towards one another. And I want to just go over them one by one. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith collected by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, this is the Bukhari and Muslim version, the Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was reported to have said, يقول أبو هريرة في حديث البخاري ومسلم, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say the following, يقول, right? So this is something he heard directly from the Prophet, peace be upon him. حق المسلم على المسلم خمس. The right or the duties of a Muslim towards another Muslim, right, are five. In the other narration, Abu Hurairah is reported to have said, حق المسلم على المسلم ست. ستٌ, يعني ستة حقوق. That the rights or the duties of a believer towards another believer are six. And there is no contradiction. Maybe some of the students of Abu Hurairah, maybe these were two different occasions where the Prophet ﷺ on one occasion was trying to highlight five particular ones, and in another occasion he added a sixth one. Right? So what are these duties? The first one, Raddu Salam. Raddu Salam. To respond to the greeting of the Muslim. In the other hadith where he says six, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was reported to have said, which makes it very clear that it was on two different occasions, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, إِذَا لَقِيتَهُ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. When you meet the believer, or when you come upon a believer, when you enter a space or you come in contact with a believer, then greet him. Sisters, greet each other. Brothers, greet each other. Or, you know, greet any believer. Doesn't, if you, this is, it's not even gender specific. إِذَا لَقِيتَهُ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. And the scholars took these two narrations and they broke it down. And they said, well, And again, I'm not going to go into like the very minute details of the differences of opinion. They said, some said, this means that when you see a believer or when you come in contact with a believer, you must, right, based on these two ahadith, you must say salam to that believer. Others said, you're encouraged, you're highly encouraged to say salam, right? It's the proper etiquette for you to say assalamu alaikum. Again, some consider it to be an obligation to say salam. Others consider it to be, right, highly recommended, it's sunnah, to say assalamu alaikum. And in other ahadith, and maybe one day we'll dedicate either a khutbah or maybe a talk to talk about the how the proper etiquette of salam, because there are details as well. Who initiates the salam? How do you respond to it? How do you say salam? All of these things are, you know, are there. You can look it up, right? But salam, my dear brothers and sisters, before I go any further, it's actually such an essential, as a matter of fact, it's a trademark of the, it's a hallmark of the Muslim community. Something that distinguishes us as Muslims. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions it in the Quran. That when someone greets you with a greeting of salam, right? And you don't know about their background, you don't know about, don't say to them, oh, lasta mu'mina, you're not a believer. That means if someone greets you with a salam alaikum, you should assume that they're what? Why? Because it's the hallmark of a believer, Muslim community. It's a community of greeting. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith says, afshu salam. He begins with that. Spread the greeting of peace. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, by Allah, you shall not enter Jannah until you believe. Wallahi la tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu. Wa la tu'minu hatta tahabu. And you will not be true believers until you start loving one another. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives his recommendation. He gives a prescription. Something that will actually spread love amongst the believers. He says, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُهُ تَحَبَبْتُمْ. Should I not tell you about something if you were to practice, it will actually generate love. It will actually produce love among, you know, it will make you love each other. You will love one another. أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread the greeting of peace amongst you. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. To those that you know and those who don't you know. So some scholars say that it's an obligation to offer or initiate the greeting. Others say that it is actually highly recommended. So now, how about responding to it? If someone says assalamu alaikum to us, they said actually responding to it is almost, there's a consensus amongst the scholars that responding to it is an obligation. It's a duty. If someone says assalamu alaikum, you must respond to them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran makes that command. وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أُرُدُّوهَا. They said what is recommended is that you actually give back a better greeting. If someone says assalamu alaikum, you say assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Right? Or at least reciprocate. So if someone says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you should not say wa alaikum. I don't know why some people are just, you know, like it's going to cost them something. There is no tax on salam. Wa alaykum. Okay. Wa alaykum what? You got to be very specific. It's a dua that we're making for one another. And as-salam is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. If the person said as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, you have no option. The proper adab and, the obligatory adab is that you respond by saying wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And it's even better to say wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When we become aware of this and we offer it like we mean it, wallahi, you will see what it does to you before what it does to the other person. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not speak out of, you know, he speaks with the authority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew what he was saying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, other scholars said, well, if the greeting comes from an individual to a group of people, then it's really not obligatory upon each person to respond. There are some who say that each person must respond. But there are those who say, no, if a group of them respond, then it's sufficient. That will fulfill the duty for everyone else. So next time you see someone, a a believer that you know or that you don't know. Because the Prophet in the Hadith says, سَلِّمْ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. You don't have to look at the person and first of all profile them and then look, oh, does this person resemble my people? Then I will say, Assalamu alaikum. And if this person doesn't look like me or sound like me, then I'm just going to stare at them. It doesn't work like that. Sisters, one of the remedies, you know, one of, and I tell you, people when they come to any gathering, they're looking for an experience. And that first impression and interaction that they have with any individual, and by the way, each and every single one of us represents the whole group, right? And I can't tell you how many times I or any member of the community, right, how many times we left either a good or a bad impression on people. And all it takes is just one. And then they take it out on the whole group, which is wrong to begin with. You know, it's wrong. However, you're responsible not only for your... People are not going to judge you alone. They're going to judge the entire congregation, the entire masjid. And in some cases, the entire community and the religion itself. That is why it's important that we understand that we're representatives not only of this community, but of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his teachings. So when someone comes, we have to be welcoming. And we have to embrace them. Right? And we have to really make them feel welcome. We have to make them feel it to the best of our ability. So this is the first right, and that happens through, or the first duty, right, to offer salam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَعِيَادَةُ الْمَرِيضِ. If that person is sick, then you visit them. You visit them and you check on them. Right. وَعِيَادَةُ الْمَرِيضِ. In the other narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions it towards the end. He says, وَإِذَا مَرِضَ فَعُدْهُ. If he falls sick, if he's ill, then visit that person, check on them. Go there for support, make dua for them. And we're taught what kind of dua to make for the individual. And be positive. And give them hope. And cheer them up. And do not say anything that will sadden that person or depress that person. And be very careful, right? And do not be too inquisitive as to what your condition is and all of that, you know. Maybe sometimes people don't like to talk about their, right, their health condition or what they're going through. Be as courteous and as considerate as you can be. And I told you not too long ago, I think I was mentioning how, subhanAllah, one of our community members made it a point. Like, one of the things that made me fall in love, actually, with the Memphis Muslim community was a brother that used to, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, right, mentioned to me how when he was hospitalized here, that so many people were going to visit him. So much so that the nurses, you know, thought that he was like, you know, I mean, every Muslim is a big shot, but they really thought he was, you know, he told me that they came to me, they're like, who are you? And they were giving him a special treatment. That is because of how the community responded to that. People from different walks of life, people from different ethnic background, not only his people, but everyone. Because every believer, we're the people of every believer. If you're a believer, then your people are the believers. Right? Your people are the believers. So and you have no idea. Sometimes we don't realize how much it affects and it impacts the individual's ability to recover and gives that person a reason to live and come back and serve Allah and then serve the community. So the Prophet ﷺ emphasizes on this, and he sets the example himself, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He would go and visit people and he would make dua for them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And do not underestimate that 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 minutes that you spend with someone, just checking on them, showing them, you know, genuinely that you're really concerned about their well-being and about their health, and making dua for them. I know a prominent Muslim figure that one time told me, wallahi, He told me this personally. Most of you know him, especially from the older generation. He told me, I don't think anything helped me overcome his cancer more than the support and the thoughts and the prayers of the believers. So doctors were shocked how I was able to overcome that and survive that. And he's still alive until this day, almost 2 decades later. Right? So do not underestimate your dua, the value of your dua and your support. Right? Number three, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the hadith of Imam Muslim, وَاتِّبَاعُ الْجَنَائِزِ, to follow the funeral procession of that individual. In the other hadith, the Prophet mentions that at the end, he says, وَإِذَا مَاتَ فَاتَّبِعُهُ, and if that person dies, then, you know, we should go and pay respect to that individual, make dua and pray for that person and be with them, right, as they're taken to the final resting place. And with that, the scholar said that as long as we have enough people fulfilling that obligation, right, then it's not necessarily an obligatory thing upon each and every single one of us. However, again, for those of us who are, especially those of us who are living here, anytime, my dear brothers and sisters, anytime we hear of a janazah, if you're in town, if you can make it, right, and if all it takes is that you go out of your effort or you take time off, every believer is a family member. Do it, right? And subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal may soften the hearts of the believers so that on the day where you need their dua and their salah, they will be there for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that day when it comes for any one of us the best of our days. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Wa ijabatu da'wa." Right? Don't wait until that person is desperate and they need. If that person is as well and they're having a happy occasion, especially if it's a walima, especially if it's a wedding, and they invite you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, respond to that individual's invitation and answer. Right? Some of us are very selective as to who we respond to. Right? As long as you don't have, by the way, as long as you don't have a legitimate reason Islamically. The scholars say that if someone invites you to their walima, then you're obligated to attend. Right? So the right thing to do is to respond to any invitation. I would like to, you know, invite you for a cup of tea. No problem. Right? However, if it's a walima, it becomes even, you know, because it only happens for most people, it happens once in a lifetime. Right? If you're not there for them on that day, when are you going to be there for them? And my dear brothers and sisters, I must say, as I mentioned this, that wallahi ya jama'a, you know, I'm saying this and it's coming from a place of love and concern. Let's keep it simple. Barakallahu feekum. Because sometimes we overcomplicate things. We make it very difficult for people actually to even respond to our invitations. Because we overcomplicate things. We go very extravagant, right? Or sometimes we obligate each other with things that we cannot keep up with, if you know what I mean. So these cultural practices, we need to tone it down. Especially here, we should come up with our own culture that is as close as possible to Islam and keep it simple. And I tell people somehow, I tell some, you know, the young men and you know, our young sisters sometimes when they try to do something, you know, that stands out, I say, nowadays, you want to do something that stands out, that people will talk about, keep it simple. Because nobody's keeping it simple anymore. So we're overcomplicating things. It's not supposed to be that complicated. Right? And put, you know, the cost towards something that will benefit the couple. Or benefit other people who may be in need. Something that benefits the couple. Right? There is barakah in that. So keep it simple so that it's easy for people to respond. Some of the most beautiful weddings that I attended, or walimas, were the ones that were just public. There's like open invitation, everyone comes. They kept it very simple, you know, nothing extravagant. SubhanAllah, it was beautiful. The more people there, right, the more dua you're going to get. The more barakah there will be. Yeah. And the last thing that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned was تشميت العاطس, in the hadith where he mentioned five duties, right? That when you hear him saying Alhamdulillah after sneezing, you should wish them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower them with mercy. So when someone says Alhamdulillah after sneezing, you say Yarhamukallah. رحمني الله وإياكم وغفر الله لي ولكم أقول هذا الذي سمعتم واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. In the hadith of Imam Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ adds a sixth right. And the Prophet ﷺ says that that right is وَإِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. If the believer seeks your advice, then give them the best and the most sincere advice that you can give them. And the scholar said, actually, if the person seeks your advice and you're capable of giving them advice, you must give them advice. However, they said, if the person needs your advice, and even if they don't ask you for it, right, it is your moral obligation to offer that advice. You can't be seeing someone doing something that is self-destructive or that could affect their health in a negative way and not offer that advice. And alhamdulillah, we are such a talented community. We have so many talented people in various areas, right? We have a lot of experts in various areas. Imagine if we were to start practicing this. And I know there are some, legal boundaries and limitations to what you can say or what you cannot say. I understand that. But without violating this or without violating the ethics of your profession, we can always reach out to one another and say, by the way, if you need my help or if there's any way I can facilitate something. And I love it, wallahi, when people do that. I love it. But we need to offer this to everyone, right? It will actually improve the quality not only of our relationships, but the overall health and quality of our community. People would want to be part of this community because it's a healthy community, self-correcting. It's a community that really pays attention to its growth. So, nasiha, right? Advice, good advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every single one of our community members. May Allah azza wa jalla allow you and I to fulfill our obligations. One thing that we can practice starting today is salam. So hopefully, it will take us a little longer to get out, but inshallah, it will get us more good deeds and help us get to know one another, right? And it will inshallah ta'ala increase the love that we have for one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread peace amongst the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to get to know each other better. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds and forgive our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help our brothers and sisters who are suffering anywhere in the world, in our community and abroad. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower with His mercy those who pass away of our brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them forgiveness and grant them Jannah. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والسلامة من كل إثم والغنيمة من كل بر والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.